Hi, Govanan. Welcome to the Tolkien Lore Channel. I'm the Tolkien Geek, and I was set to continue my series of details that only superfans would notice in the Fellowship of the Ring, but some major news hit this week that I thought was worth talking about. Two pieces of news, actually, since I recorded my last video, because my last video I recorded before the news came out that Bernard Hill, the actor who played Théoden, recently died. And I don't really have a whole lot to say about that particularly, because I'm not really into eulogies. but I will say Bernard Hill was a fantastic actor, and he did a great job with Théoden. I don't like everything that they did with Théoden in the movies, but that has more to do with the writing than anything else. And Bernard Hill did a great job with what he had. I mean, he's absolutely fantastic, and he's been in a lot of films where he's done an absolutely fantastic job. I mean, he's a great actor, and that's one thing you could say about almost everybody who acted in that series of films, is they're all great actors. But he was just a classic. So it's, you know, it's kind of sad that we've lost him, but, you know, it's, he was old, and several of the actors, you know, Ian McKellen's old, we've already lost Christopher Lee, Ian Holm, I think, is also no longer with us. I can't remember who all's died at this point, but, you know, some of those actors were up there even when they were making those movies, and it's been 20-something years, so. The other piece of news, though, that I want to really address here is the news that, and this is not exactly news in one sense, because we already knew that the Embracer Group was making some new Middle-earth movies, because they bought the rights from, I forget exactly who, but they acquired the rights for Lord of the Rings, and they're making a bunch of different stuff, games, movies, and whatever. We had the movie announcement a long time ago, but it was just that they were going to be making more movies. Well, now we finally have some more detailed news about one of the movies, at least, and that is that they're going to be making a movie which is, it has a working title of The Hunt for Gollum, which probably is only a working title for the simple reason that there is already a fan film by that name, and I can't imagine they are not aware of that. But it's going to be directed and star, of course, Andy Serkis, because Andy Serkis is going to return to play Gollum, but also direct the film. It won't be the first time he's directed stuff. He actually worked as a second unit director, I think, on the Hobbit movies. And he's directed some other stuff as well, so it's not like it's his first time. But Peter Jackson apparently is also going to be involved as a producer on the film. So that's an interesting piece of news for the simple reason that it definitely, combined with the fact that Andy Serkis is going to be involved, makes it look like it's going to be very much in continuity with Peter Jackson's movies. Which, you know, whatever your opinion on the Rings of Power show, it's not really in the same thing. I mean, you could argue that it's just, you know, it's just a prequel, and therefore everybody and everything is going to be different. But they're not, you know, the only thing in the Rings of Power that they were really kind of leaning heavily on as far as Peter Jackson's stuff was the look of the Balrog. That's really it. And even that was really probably just more for the, you know, the fans than anything else. But at the end of the day, what this tells me is Gollum is going to look the same as he did in the original movies. He's going to, you know, probably have the same personality exactly as in the Fellowship and the Two Towers and Return of the King, really. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with that. Now, the reason I want to talk about it is because this is a specific movie concept which has already been done before, and so we can already kind of have some idea of how it might go, and because there's a lot of controversy already swirling around it. The controversy has kind of erupted from people who say that, oh, this is just a cash grab, and especially, I saw a lot of people who were, like, pro-Rings of Power basically saying, if you want to watch this, then you can't ever complain about Rings of Power again. It's like, you're really missing a lot of, you know, what's going on here. And the theory, I suppose, is that since one of the executives over at Embracer basically said something along the lines of, you know, this presents a great opportunity for our theatrical business, It's like, ha, it's just a cash grab. They're only doing it for the dough. It's like, well, I mean, studios make money. That's their job, ultimately. And that doesn't mean that it won't be a good artistic effort. But, I mean, people did make kind of the same criticism of The Rings of Power when it first got announced that Amazon bought those rights, because they were like, oh, it's just, he's trying to find, he just wants the next big Game of Thrones because it was a big commercial success, and so he's just trying to make a bunch of money and whatever. But that forgets the fact that there were a lot of us, me included, who, whenever the news was announced that Amazon bought these rights and was planning on doing something with them, a lot of us were hopeful that it would be a really interesting opportunity to delve into some stuff that hadn't been done before, or, maybe just redo some things in a way that would have, would be better. And, as late as, maybe a year before, I still had hopes that they were going to be doing something really interesting. And then, of course, a lot of controversy started swirling around because of some of the things that were said about Rings of Power and all this other stuff. But I still kept an open mind. You can believe or disbelieve that as you will, but it's true. I watched that series hoping that it would be good, and I was disappointed with it, not for the reasons that many people expected, but for the simple reason that it just wasn't good writing. It just wasn't. That's just. Also, they went way against, what we know from Tolkien's writings in multiple different ways. So that turned me off as well. And that's not to say that Peter Jackson didn't go against what's in Tolkien's writings either. He does. He did. And I complain about those things too. But The Lord of the Rings as movies are still vastly superior to The Rings of Power as a show. It's just a fact. Like, if you don't agree with that, that's fine. You can have your own opinion, but the writing in one is way better than the writing in the other. The pacing in one is way better than the pacing in the other. Like, if you don't really believe me about my criticisms, watch Hello Future Me's channel. He's got a huge long video about his critique of The Rings of Power and why it's a disappointing, not terrible, just disappointing show. And if you watch that and you don't at least understand why somebody would be like, yeah, it's just not that great, then you're just closed-minded. I'm sorry. Just get over it. Anyway, point being, there's all this controversy swirling about this show or this movie plan, and a lot of it is coming from seemingly a bunch of Rings of Power fans who are like, ah, you complained about Rings of Power, now they're just doing the same thing over again and you're all excited. It's like, well, no, we're excited because, or at least some people are excited. I don't know whether to be excited or not at this point. It seems so rare to have a good movie come out at all that I don't really hold out much hope of anything, just so I can be pleasantly surprised. But we've got Peter Jackson involved, Andy Serkis involved. It's like, that's already a promising development, whereas the people who were involved in Rings of Power were largely inexperienced and untested and didn't have really anything on their resume to say they're going to be a great creative team for this. We already know that Peter Jackson is a great person to have on the creative team for this. We already know that Andy Serkis is a person that's going to be great to have on the creative team and to be acting as Gollum. Like, this is, this is a reason to be more hopeful about this, all other else being equal. But what's more interesting to me is just the opportunities that are presented here. And like I said before, there's been a fan film made on this exact topic, and I've done a review of that fan film on this channel. I will link to that on the description somewhere. And this is interesting that they would choose the exact same topic as a fan film. The fan film was definitely trying to kind of be in that same creative universe, so to speak, as the Peter Jackson films, because the look of Aragorn in that fan film is very reminiscent of Peter Jackson's films. Everything about it seems kind of similar. And it was a pretty decent fan film. It was actually, it was an interesting watch. It had, interesting story behind it. And there were people complaining about, like, how are you going to make a story about this? And nobody wants to see this character again. I'm like, no, actually, Gollum is one of the most interesting characters from those movies, and everybody, when those movies came out, especially in The Two Towers, where he has that scene where he's talking to himself and the camera angle keeps shifting, everybody, and I mean everybody, I can't think of a single person at the time who didn't say that that was a fantastic piece of cinema. And Andy Serkis did a great job. The whole story of Gollum was really compelling. Like, nobody dislikes the Gollum character as a character. I mean, sure, you dislike him as a person because Gollum is a scumbag, but he's an interesting character and he's got a tragic backstory. As Gandalf even says in both the book and the movie, he says his life is a sad story. You know, and there's something attractive about that in terms of the storytelling. We like those kinds of stories, at least. You know, most of us like those kinds of stories, at least in small doses. So this idea that nobody wants to see Gollum again, and this is just a really horrible idea of a movie, is to me just insane. Like, that just sounds like really bad cope on the part of people who just don't want Rings of Power to be the unwanted stepchild in this franchise. But at the end of the day, what I think is really important here is how are they going to do it? And like I said, because we've already got a fan film on this, we have a sort of proof of concept, and there's plenty of material that that fan film didn't even go into. You could make a pretty decent-sized movie. I mean, I wouldn't want to make a 3-hour epic out of it, but you could make at least a 1.5 to 2-hour movie, probably, of this story, because you have Gandalf's involvement, trying to, you know, from when he first starts hunting for Gollum, thinking, okay, there's something serious going on, and I need to get information from the main source that I can even think of that would know anything. His enlistment of Aragorn, they search Wilderland and everywhere else for a long time, apparently, trying to find Gollum on his trail before they finally lose him around Mordor, and Gandalf gives up hope, and he goes to Minas Tirith, and there we can get a subplot, because he goes to Minas Tirith during that time, and that's when he talks to Denethor about, hey, can I search your archives? And Denethor's like, you ain't gonna find anything I don't already know, but sure. And there's even other things that you might throw in. One of the things that I thought of, and that Council of the Rings actually brought up too in response to one of my tweets about this, is that one thing you could do is pull in some of the unfinished tale stuff about not just the hunt for Gollum, but the hunt for the ring, because at the same time some of this is going on, Sauron is also kind of getting some things going, because once he catches Gollum, he knows the ring is somewhere out there, and he sends the Nazgul out to start searching, and they search the Vales of Anduin, and they search, you know, they try to coerce it out of Saruman, who, you know, in the unfinished tales version of this story, or one of them, kind of like deflects them with some deceit and gets them to go off and do other things. And you know, you could even bring in some of that stuff at the later stages of the story after Gollum is released from Mordor before Aragorn catches him. And then, of course, you've got Aragorn catching him and then bringing him to the Wood Elves and having him questioned by Gandalf. And you know, the whole movie could end with something like sort of a cliffhanger, not exactly a cliffhanger, but sort of a cliffhanger of like Gollum being questioned by Gandalf and Gandalf getting what information he wants out of him. And this brings on the, you know, the final piece of the puzzle after he's put all this stuff together and, you know, leads him to conclude, yep, this is probably the ring, and now I need to go test it with what I found in, you know, that scroll by Isildur. And that, you know, leads us, you know, back into the Fellowship of the Ring movies. Now, of course, the question that a lot of people seem to have been asking is, well, who's going to play Aragorn? Nobody, well, there are a few people, but a lot fewer people seem to be asking, who's going to play Gandalf? You know, Gandalf and Aragorn are both going to be in this movie, probably, because Gandalf is the one who enlists Aragorn to get onto this job. Aragorn, you know, could still be played by Viggo. I mean, it wouldn't be that unbelievable. Ian McKellen could potentially come back as Gandalf. I mean, he's a lot older now, and I mean a lot older. I mean, even than when he was in the Hobbit movies, that's 10 years ago now. So we're talking a very old Ian McKellen if he does it. But Ian McKellen's role wouldn't have to be very big, so, and it wouldn't have to be very action-packed, so it's conceivable. And, you know, if you look at some of the behind-the-scenes stuff and interviews that he's given, I don't necessarily doubt that he would be interested in returning to Middle-earth if he's up to it. But, you know, with one of the jokes that I made was Stuart Townsend is finally old enough to play Aragorn. And if you don't understand that joke, the original plan before Viggo Mortensen was hired was to cast Stuart Townsend, who at the time was a very young actor. I mean, very young. And he ended up getting fired. And there's some controversy over why. Some people say creative differences and whatever. But allegedly, the reason was he was just too young to play Aragorn. He's not that young anymore. So, I mean, you know, I just made that as kind of a joke. I don't necessarily think they would want to hire Stuart Townsend to play him, but it's at least a funny thought to think, you know, all these years later, he might finally get the chance. But, you know, I don't think they necessarily have to cast the same people. I think it would definitely make it more of a continuity with the Lord of the Rings movies if they did. And that would, since you're already doing the same thing with Gollum, apparently, you know, I mean, they're using Andy Serkis. That doesn't mean he has to play him exactly the same way. He could potentially use a different voice and a different kind of personality or whatever. But if he does him the same exact way, it would be a little bit of a cognitive dissonance to see Lord of the Rings Gollum on screen and have a totally different actor for Aragorn and Gandalf on screen, just being like, wait, which movie am I watching? So, you know, that's kind of weird. But, you know, it's also, you know, you're hiring actors who are now 20-something years older than when they filmed The Lord of the Rings. Is that really going to work? Is Ian McKellen, you know, up to the task at this point? He's up there. So, you know, there's questions about all that kind of stuff, but there's, you know, at least the possibility that we end up with the same actors that we already know. And even if we don't, we could end up with, you know, some really good actors doing the same kind of roles and giving us a different look. Because, you know, one thing that a lot of people, myself included, didn't particularly like about Viggo Mortensen was the way he was written in the Lord of the Rings movies was as a much more hesitant type of character. And this could give us a look at Aragorn, the confident, you know, weather-worn ranger who is, you know, extremely good at what he does and is willing to go through, you know, almost hell and back because of, you know, to accomplish his mission and is capable of doing it. So that could be an interesting thing to be played by somebody other than Viggo Mortensen, who, you know, almost anything you've ever seen him in, you know, anything you've ever seen him in terms of like his non-stage personality, he's kind of a quiet guy, and he's carries that over into his Aragorn a little bit. And even when he's being kind of action-packed, he's still not, he doesn't give that I am a mighty, you know, warrior vibe, really. I mean, he's good at playing his action scenes, but his voice just doesn't really convey that, I guess, to me. But anyway, there's a lot of different things about who could be playing in it, what the storyline could be. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff you could explore there because they searched for him for a long time. There's things you could bring in that you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have to bring in stuff, but you could bring in stuff that's kind of tangentially related. And I just think that this is a really interesting piece of news in terms of where we're going with, you know, new Lord of the Rings related content. If this is any indication of what else may be coming out of the Embracer Group, we may get some of the things that people were speculating we might get from Amazon when that news was first announced. You know, some of Aragorn's backstory, some, you know, other stuff that's, you know, connected kind of tightly to the Lord of the Rings, but is not really explored in detail in the book itself. You know, Aragorn spending time in Gondor and Rohan. You know, that kind of thing. Or his time as a ranger and working with Elrond and Elrohir. Or, you know, I mean, there's just a bunch of different things you could think of that might be there that you could. There's a lot of creative room to come up with a story because Tolkien doesn't fill in many of the gaps. So this is interesting not only in and of itself because of the possibility of this particular story they're apparently going to tell. It's also interesting because it tells us something about the direction that they're headed. So that's interesting. Now, like I said, I am not really hyper optimistic about this. I am cautiously optimistic because, like I said, Peter Jackson being involved and Andy Serkis being involved both give reason to hope that it will be at least somewhat on par with the original Lord of the Rings movies. Now, the caution comes from, well, look what they did with The Hobbit. is Serkis and is, are these people who we know what their work is capable of, are they going to be given the latitude that they had in the Lord of the Rings to make a really good movie? Or is the Embracer Group going to play the WB card and really kind of force them to do things that aren't really in the best interest of telling the story because of what they think the by-the-numbers approach is best? You never know. I don't know what the Embracer Group has done before in terms of making movies. I don't know what kind of company they are. I don't know really much of anything, so I can't really make any predictions along those lines. But lately in Hollywood, it seems like almost every movie is a by the numbers movie. And so it's like, it doesn't matter if Peter Jackson's involved and Andy Serkis is involved. If the studio doesn't give them what they need, the freedom that they need to really make the story what it ought to be. So, it depends on how much risk they're willing to take. I hope they're willing to basically look at the Lord of the Rings movies and say, well, and compare to the Hobbit movies and say, you did your best work when you weren't hampered by a studio and you had the time and the dedication to really put into this project and make something that everybody looks back with, some fondness for the most part. And when you didn't have that, you came out with the Hobbit movies that a lot of people think were kind of terrible. So we're going to play the route that New Line played and give you latitude. Hopefully Embracer has the brains to do that, and they're not, willing to hamper their own success by trying to avoid potential risk. I mean, it's hard to predict anything anymore, but those are kind of the two routes that I could see this going. Embracer either makes it too by the numbers and makes it just bleh, or they let them do what they do best, and Serkis and Jackson and whoever else is involved actually come up with something grand and impressive. Which it is, who knows? Cautiously optimistic. But this is, some of the biggest news to come out in a long time. I mean, we knew that they were going to be doing something with Lord of the Rings content, but I think going this direction with The Hunt for Gollum, on the one hand, it's kind of a cheap shot in the sense that we already know it's been done, but in a sense, that's like, well, we've got proof of concept. Why don't we go with something that we know fans kind of like? So, again, that plays both ways, right? It's avoiding risk, but it's also, hey, we're going in a direction that we think fans will like. That doesn't mean they're going to avoid all risk. It just means they're like, the fans already like this storyline. Why don't we use it, expand upon it, and let Peter Jackson and Andy Serkis do what they do? Or it could mean, hey, we're just going to pick everything that's safe and not take any risks. Again, it's like you could go either way with that line of reasoning. Who knows how it's going to go? But I think there is at least some reason for hope. And, if this movie ends up being bad, then I will probably do exactly the same thing that I have done with The Rings of Power and just say, okay, no more. You had your shot, Embracer, and you blew it, so forget it. But if it turns out to be good, they could buy themselves a lot of goodwill and have a whole franchise where people go and watch in droves and potentially sink Amazon into the ground as far as the Rings of Power goes. Who knows? It's, that's not to say that Amazon's going to completely crash over the Rings of Power, of course, but depending on how the two things go, one could so overshadow the other that it would, just be embarrassing. And of course, there's still the War of the Rohirrim coming, which is a totally different thing again. So there's just, there's a lot of things going into that mix. But those are kind of my thoughts on where this movie might go, what might happen. I think it's got some interesting potential for sure. I think it would be great actually to explore Gollum a bit because we could get a little more of his backstory and we could really see that tension again that we saw in the Two Towers. But there are concerns too. So, let's remain open-minded, cautiously optimistic, and see what we get dealt by Embracer, and hopefully it's a good thing. But supposedly the movie's coming out in 2026, which means they've got plenty of time to work on it. They're not going to be too rushed, hopefully. And yeah, give it a couple years. We'll see what we get. So those are my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. There's definitely a lot to think about when it comes to this news. But if you also want to just help out the channel, make sure you give it a thumbs up, share the video around for other people who might be interested in the news. Follow me on the platform formerly known as Twitter, where I share Tolkien-related trivia questions. There's other social and support links in the description below. And don't forget my review of the fan film, The Hunt for Gollum, as well. Until the next time, I'm the Tolkien Geek, signing out for the Tolkien Lore Channel. Namarie. Thanks to all my channel supporters, especially Paul Leone, Nathan Dufour, and Robert Kindling.